And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always, the FTN Dynasty Podcast, and we are flying towards football season. OTAs are kicking off for most of the NFL here this past week. We have some major situations to monitor as we head towards that. Even as dynasty managers, sometimes the OTA stuff's a little bit more redraft relevant, but it's always fun to see those rookies get out there. What should we be taking away from OTAs? And really, what should we be monitoring? Like, what is this period for us as dynasty managers? I know we get a lot of startups in this time frame. We get some rookie drafts still fizzling in and out here. It's a very fluid situation here for us as dynasty managers. Also a very good time to maybe make some trades, as there's going to be some values suppressed at the moment from incoming rookies. We may see some of those players kind of regain value as the names kind of don't have the best OTAs, or vice versa. So again, let's talk about it. That's what we're here to do. That's what the Dynasty Podcast is all about. We're talking about that Dynasty football, right? All right, so let's talk a little bit about OTAs and at least what I take from it. You can choose to, you know, ignore what I take from it, but it's whatever you would like. So with OTAs, we have to remember that this is basically getting players acclimated to not playing football for a while. Plain and simple. That's what it is. If there's new coaches, you're starting to instill that playbook. Everything starts to happen now. So it is important to have players there. Yes, you see some of the veterans tend to sit out, etc. But more times than not, most players will arrive at OTAs. Now, these highlight performances, you're going to see the one-on-one. You're going to see the highlight clips. It's going to get the juices flowing. All right, but we want to try to not overreact, much like the training camp videos. We all do it. I do it. It's always fun. You toss that little slander out there on Twitter, or you hype up the player that you had your priors on. I get it. It's always fun. That's what Twitter is. That's what this game is meant to be, is fun. But as a competitor in the game, remember, don't get too overzealous from either of those informations. Obviously, injuries could be a huge thing to monitor here as well. We don't want to see injuries. If we start to see some injuries, it may be concerning in the coming months to at least monitor and see that situation. Again, a little bit more towards that redraft, but you might also see a little bit of a dip if there's some injury concern with some of these players. So it's a surface level evaluation from what we can gain from our information on the Twitterverse or Blue Sky, whichever and wherever you choose to get your information from at this point in time. We aren't getting a ton of full-on practice film, so again, not much that we can take away from it. We're not getting a whole game, etc. It's more of a teaser as we head towards the NFL season, and a teaser for us as fantasy managers. Now, some stuff that we do want to see and hear about is definitely situation worthy. We're going to talk about some quarterback situations today, and then maybe we'll talk about some other situations here in the coming weeks here as OTAs continue throughout. Maybe we'll talk about some positional ones here next week. But right now, I want to talk about the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks drive the NFL offense. The quarterbacks drive us for fantasy managers as well. If the quarterback can't kick the ball to put your playmaker, it's going to hurt your fantasy value, a la Garrett Wilson, a la even Malik Nabers. Like, could you imagine Malik Nabers' season last season with a better quarterback, Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, there's some players out there that we are clamoring for more from that aren't always their fault to why that fantasy production is not there. So let's talk about these quarterbacks that we have to look at, okay? There's less situations that I'm concerned about heading into this season than I can think of in recent memory. I feel like the quarterback position has pretty much been solidified for most of the teams. Like, we kind of know what they're going to have under center week one. This is our starter. We're rolling with him. There are some situations here as we're moving forward, like I said, that we want to keep an eye on that might be a little under the radar, as well as some obvious situations that we're going to be paying attention to, okay? First off the bat, let's just get it out of the way, J.J. McCarthy, all right? Set to be the starter here for Kevin O'Connell. We saw what Kevin O'Connell has done for quarterbacks. We saw him do it with Kirk Cousins. We saw him do it with Sam Darnold. Now it's J.J. McCarthy's turn. Now, J.J. McCarthy never lit up the collegiate levels at Michigan, but he showed the tools and the traits to be a solid quarterback at the NFL level. The concern will be coming off the meniscus injury. How much does it affect his game? and where's he at? Now, that injury happened early enough in the season, and they basically sat him the entirety of the year. He should be healthy, ready to go. Early clips, early talk, he's lighting it up. And you're going to hear that. You're never going to hear the beat reporters more times than not nowadays, at least in the NFL universe, bashing the starting quarterback. So J.J. McCarthy, according to the reports out of Minnesota, it's all fire. All fire's going up there with him connecting with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, etc. Now, as a dynasty manager, I feel like you need to try to get J.J. McCarthy if you want in on him ASAP, because this train will start to rise, and we know that there's going to be production, and the manager, he's probably going to be hard to paw away at this point anyways. From a manager who already rosters him, there's going to be considerable hype around J.J. McCarthy as he heads into the season. Now, if I am a current manager and he's sitting a little bit further on my bench, it's not terrible to hold him. Perfectly fine. I'm all in on that. Just hold it, ride it out. But if you are in a situation where someone's willing to overpay King's ransom for J.J. McCarthy and give me a couple firsts, etc., and Superflex, I'm considering it. I think there's a level for him, but he's more into that lower quarterback one territory. The rushing upside isn't totally there. And when you start to consider the other factors around the league, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, the etc., and then you add in the upper echelon of passers in Joe Burrow, even Justin Herbert. Herbert's kind of fallen off a little bit. Patrick Mahomes, I know it was a bumpy ride last season, but there's a group of elite throwers in this group that are also going to push their way into this territory. You could argue CJ Stroud could find his way back in there this season, but where's he fall in that, and where's really his ceiling when it comes to fantasy? And when you've only got a 12 team league, quarterback 13, great in super flex, but also not terrible in one quarterbacks, but not really moving the needle for me. So if I'm getting a King's ransom for J.J. McCarthy, I'm all in on moving on from J.J. McCarthy at this point in time before we see what it is, because it could be a disaster. We don't know. You're not getting live speed. You're not getting live defenses. You're not getting opposing defenses playing against him. You're not getting the confusion in his mind, which is what haunts many young quarterbacks who we'll talk about here in the coming things, who have definitely been haunted by NFL defenses. So, again, I'm in on the hold, but I'm also okay if someone wants to pay for it. And no, if you want to get in on J.J. McCarthy, you better make a run to that trade wire and send some of those trades over ASAP. All right, let's move on to much stickier situations, and we've got a few of them going forward. Should we go to Cleveland, boys and gals? I think we should do it. Quick ride down the 90 here for me in Buffalo to get down to Cleveland. But I don't know if I want to be there with this quarterback situation going on for potential starters come week one here in a wide open battle for this Cleveland starting position. Shedeur Sanders is in that mix, although not drafted early on NFL draft weekend. Still a potential he could become a starting quarterback week one of the NFL season. Joe Flacco, the ageless wonder, is also here. Probably the front runner to be your starter at least week one. We'll see how this all goes. Dylan Gabriel, obviously there as well, who was taken ahead of Shedeur Sanders by the Cleveland Browns. And then Kenny Pickett in the mix as well. We've seen it from Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett offers that ability to be a winnable starter at the NFL level. In his two starting seasons in Pittsburgh, had 62.5 average completion percentage, topped over 2,000 passing yards in both seasons, took care of the ball fairly well. His rookie season had a little bit higher interception rate, but we saw that drop down in 2023. Last season, we didn't see much of him in Philadelphia. Does offer you a little bit of that rushing upside in his game. It's not immense, but does give you that a little bit of scramble ability. We saw more of it from him as a rookie, topping over 200 rushing yards, finding the end zone three times. So there's some upside there for Kenny Pickett. Joe Flacco doesn't offer that rushing upside, but we've seen Flacco in this offense produce viable fantasy numbers. Now, that was a few seasons ago, etc., that we've seen Flacco bouncing around here and giving us viable weeks no matter where he goes. But the biggest thing for Flacco is less the fantasy relevance for him, but he can support fantasy relevant players, which is really what we're looking for. And going back to circle back to JJ McCarthy, that's the biggest thing we want out of it. Yes, we want the production from McCarthy as our quarterback, but we want him to be able to support Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, etc. The same thing is here in Cleveland, who has a sneakily decent receiver room. Deontay Johnson could be a bounce back candidate. Jerry Jeudy really came on late in the season. David Njoku's in this situation. They added Dylan Sampson, Quinshon Judkins in the draft. Like, there's some players that have some fantasy relevance to this roster that we want to have the production. So we need a solid quarterback who can move the football. And who's that going to be? Flacco can do that. We've seen it from Kenny Pickett. The question really lies in these rookies, and can either of these two take the job from the other two? My front runner is Shedeur Sanders. I've Oregon fan. I like Dylan Gabriel. I just don't know. And to be honest, his game kind of translates a little better than Sanders, probably in this offense, kind of more of a rhythmic timing type of passer, which will work in this offense. I just worry the size is a little bit concerning. But he does take care of the football, and I don't think Cleveland's going to ask any of these quarterbacks to throw a plethora with a strong defense. I think it's going to be a lot of Quinshon Judkins, Dylan Sampson, Jerome Ford, and the group of running backs just kind of pounding the rock and trying to move it in that light, as well as these quarterbacks just getting the ball into the playmaker's hands. So it's a situation to monitor. I do think Shedeur Sanders is in this realm. I think you're going to see a lot of push for Shedeur Sanders in the media, but doesn't always mean it's going to be a thing. So, for me personally, this is kind of a full avoid as far as Dynasty goes. I'm not trying to trade in because the hype's going to start to build with Sanders, and I'm not going to pay that value. If you were able to get him in rookie drafts, sure. I just don't know if there's a long-term answer here in this quarterback room. This really feels like a team that may be taking a quarterback next season in a little bit stronger 2026 class. All right. Before we move on, let's take a quick break here. Get the sponsors fed, right? Take a quick break. I need a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get three more quarterback situations we're going to talk about. Then we'll get you out of here. Welcome back in. All right. We talked about JJ McCarthy. We talked about the Cleveland Browns. What else should be getting our attention here during OTAs as far as the quarterback position goes? Let's bite it off right off the bat. Indianapolis. All right. The Anthony Richardson hype was strong in his draft year. I was a player who was a little bit out on him. I was more into the CJ Stroud territory. I just didn't think his game would transition to the NFL. Now, yes, he has that great rushing upside that we covet as a fantasy manager, but if you can't pass the football, your chances of being an NFL starter for long term are limited. All right, we even saw the rushing upside very muchly there in 2023 as a rookie prior to his injury. 136 yards on the ground, 4 touchdowns in just those 4 games. And then in 11 games this past season, he topped 499 yards and 6 rushing touchdowns. So the rushing is there. When he's in the roster, he's a very good fantasy quarterback for us. Where the concerns come is how often will he be in that starting lineup? Hopefully the entirety of the season, with two factors in concern. Health, we've seen that. He struggled to stay healthy so far in his career, not finishing an entire season yet in the first 2 seasons. The other comes passing the football. The forward pass is a struggle for Anthony Richardson at this point in time. Great arm talent. It comes a little bit in the processing and just making poor decisions, plain and simple. And then some of the mechanics, obviously with a career 50.6 completion percentage, not great last season, 47.7, 12 points down from his rookie season once he got more time under center. We also saw his interception rate jump to 4.5% from 1.2 as a rookie. Again, with more time on the field, he was making more errors. Luckily for Anthony Richardson and Anthony Richardson managers, we should probably see a lot of Anthony Richardson in 2025, as his only real competition is Daniel Jones, another player that has struggled mightily to stay A, on the field, B, be consistent and quality on the field. We've really only seen arguably one good season from him, and that was 2022, when he did manage to play 16 games, went 9-6, topped 3,200 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, only threw 5 interceptions. In addition to that, we also saw him add a little bit on the ground in that season with over 700 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns. So there was some serious fantasy relevancy to him in 2022, coming in as the 9th quarterback. So there was some value there for him. Now, that was 2022. Since then, it's been atrocious. Another player that struggled with interceptions, throwing 6-7 in just 6 games in 2023 and 7 in 2024. So we don't really have a huge pressure on Anthony Richardson. Now, obviously, both players struggling with injury, both players struggling with the accuracy decision-making. Jones is a little bit better of an accurate passer, but Indianapolis invested in Anthony Richardson. So unless Jones really blows them out of the water, I would think we're going to see Anthony Richardson. Ultimately, Dynasty Effect, we're really monitoring to hope that Anthony Richardson takes a step. Okay, if you roster Anthony Richardson, this is your year. Make it or break it. You need to decide as a manager, am I in or out? Because if you can sell someone right now and move on from Anthony Richardson, I am in 100%. I do not think that Anthony Richardson will probably be a starting quarterback. Maybe next year, unlikely though. I think that he will likely find himself somewhere as a backup quarterback, potentially still in Indianapolis in 2026. I think the Colts will look to address this position in the coming draft, depending on who declares and how their college seasons go. I do think that that's a potential. One that comes to mind is Lenora Sellers, a guy that is a dual threat type of quarterback, very similar to Anthony Richardson, not as physical, but a little bit better of a passer there in South Carolina. So we'll see how that goes in the coming season. But I think there's some potential quarterbacks who Indianapolis will be intrigued by and potentially could have a new coaching staff depending on how this season even goes for Anthony Richardson. Next one, New Orleans Saints. Talk about it, right? The retirement of Derek Carr has opened up a massive situation for us as fantasy managers, especially if you roster Chris Olave. A struggle that we have seen, A, Olave staying healthy, B, someone getting him the football consistently. All right, and last season, that was not the case, all right? And now Rashid Shaheed was missing last season. He will also be returning. We also have Juwan Johnson, who dabbles in some fantasy relevancy there at the tight end position. Alvin Kamara, and now Devin Neal was added in the rookie drafts there. So, potentially, another player that could have some fantasy value. Can any of these three, in Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, or Jake Haener, support any of them, is the biggest question. Last season, Spencer Rattler really gave us a ride, okay? Going 0-6, a 57% completion percentage, yikesers, and 5 interceptions to 4 touchdowns on 228 attempts. Not ideal, okay? Didn't look great. Had some high upside at one point in his collegiate career, but never really fully transitioned to becoming much more than what is probably a backup quarterback at best at the NFL level. Now, the concern for Saints fans and us as Olave managers and Kamara managers is the potential successor here in Tyler Shuck, drafted significantly high for a player that failed to top 1,600 passing yards until 2024, which was his 7th collegiate season. And as a 25-year-old rookie, not the worst thing. We've seen Bo Nix come in as a later rookie, have some success. Michael Penix showed some good things early on there, later in the season there for Atlanta. We'll see with Penix this year on how that goes. But Tyler Shuck really didn't put much together, A, staying on the field or throwing the football until this past season. He was a high recruit at Oregon in 2018, but again, 2018. Ages ago at a professional athlete's career status. The concern is it's a little of an up and down roller coaster ride for Tyler Shuck. So a little bit bigger build, 6'5", over 220 pounds. So he has that on Spencer Rattler. And he also has the fact that Spencer Rattler just didn't really do much last season for New Orleans. So add in a top 40 pick. It's likely Shuck will be their starter. I also do think he can probably push the ball enough to get the ball to Chris Olave and make him relevant to a extent. I would probably limit my upside options there with Chris Olave, but I do think that Tyler Shuck could be a guy that can at least get the football out to him and create some fantasy relevance. I don't think there'll be a ton of relevance for Shuck himself, but I do think that we can get a little bit out of Olave this season. So I'm not breaking the bank to try to get Tyler Shuck. I don't think he's a long-term answer in New Orleans. I would bet on the side that he fails more so than the fact that he succeeds long-term here in New Orleans. All right. Last but not least here, Pittsburgh back in the news at the quarterback position. This time it's real interesting, and I don't think enough people are talking about it. Maybe I'm just missing it when I'm on the internet and talking about the Twitter streets rolling around through there and Blue Sky, etc. It's an interesting situation. I know there's ties to Aaron Rodgers, but if it's not Aaron Rodgers, I mean, is it Mason Rudolph? I guess. Mason Rudolph hasn't started more than 8 games since 2019. So although he's done some fill-in stuff as a starter, I mean, he was 9-8-1. He's never thrown more than 1,900 yards in a season. Had a 4.6 interception rate in that 2019 season where he played the most games of his career, 8. So yeah, we kind of know who he is. Can he move the football, get it out? Sure. Is he serviceable in a pinch? Yeah. So this is what allures me a little bit to Will Howard. Will Howard has been a little bit of a venture quarterback, not really a full-on journeyman, we'll call him, at the collegiate level, but he did play at Kansas State prior to coming to Ohio State last season. We've seen steady improvement as years went on from Will Howard, finally getting a shot in 2023 as a full-on starter in Kansas State, hit 2,600 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions, and really used that to catapult himself into the transfer portal where he landed in Ohio State and had himself a year. 73% completion percentage, over 4,000 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions. Yeah, that was a year for Will Howard at Ohio State. You add in a little bit of rushing, 226 rushing yards. We've seen him top 300 twice at Kansas State. So again, he has a little bit of that rushing upside, sneaky upside there. And you have to remember, these numbers, when we're talking about rushing numbers at the collegiate level, also include sacks. So he probably had more production. It's just in the NFL, they don't subtract sacks from rushing yards. And in college, they do. So a little bit of a variance there when you're talking about these stats. He probably had more than 226 total rushing yards if you were at the NFL level. So Will Howard's a little bit of a sneaky play to be a starter week one, if not week one, at some point in this season, and is fairly cheap right now, okay? If you didn't get a chance to get him in your rookie draft, or if you haven't had your rookie draft, I would try to sneak in Will Howard on your roster, especially in Superflex. Could be a low-end quarterback, too, if he gets the chance to start in this offense that has now DK Metcalf there. Everybody's found success tossing the ball up to DK Metcalf, Pat Freiermuth. They added Caleb Johnson to the mix. There's some mouths to be fed. We haven't really seen much from Roman Wilson yet. He could be a good factor in this offense as well. So lots of potential here in this Pittsburgh offense. And I don't know if Mason Rudolph's the answer. And I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers either. I really would hope to see them give the keys to Will Howard. So if you are a dynasty manager and Will Howard is floating out there on your waivers post rookie draft, go snag him as quick as you can, because I do think there's potential that even if you don't start him and you can maybe trade him for an asset in season once he becomes a starter, there you go. That's the key to fantasy. Even if you don't like the player, someone else has to like him. So just trade him. All right. That's how it works. You get assets and you can go get the players you like. for someone that you didn't like, but don't just let him sit there. If he's got value, add him to the roster. Make some deals. That's how the game works. All right, so those are the quarterback situations we have to pay attention to a little bit closer than the rest here as we go through OTAs in this early springtime. Again, we're not getting concrete answers really from this. You may get some teams naming starters a little bit, maybe. Unlikely. You probably get that a little bit more in training camp with these situations because they are kind of a mess of the ones that are a mess. But again, in general, not just the quarterbacks, don't overreact a ton, okay? Go ahead and have your fun on Twitter and post the clips. I will be there doing it the same. So have fun. Do it. It's a great time. However, remember to stay grounded and don't go crazy in drafts and making trades here in Dynasty based off of OTA clips. Simple. I'm going to leave you on that note. All right. Make sure you follow me on X and Blue Sky, Pope's FFH. Make sure you follow FTN Fantasy on all the socials. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I would appreciate that very, very much. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.